You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again. Sally from Finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But I love eating people. Corn mode. I love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Maybe that'd be too much.
Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well,
I don't think it would be, but
I think we know exactly what it is.
That makes sense, yeah.
So say it all with me.
I think
it was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
Yeah, I would love it.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my
kind of both our stories together, maybe.
Seeing a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air, slam into a tree.
Open it with that. Maybe that'd be the opening.
Yeah.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast. I am the great and powerful mystery.
And I'm Jay Clone 16.9.
I think the mic didn't pick up some of that when I was saying my name.
Are you just too quiet?
Too quiet. I'm too good.
Dang.
Now, today we're going to talk about a monster that doesn't exist.
What do you mean, doesn't exist?
Doesn't exist.
Like now or ever?
Both.
How do you know?
Because I do.
I'll be the judge.
The Phrenology of a Monster is the name of the article. It's about couches.
What was the name of the article?
The Phrenology of a Monster.
Phrenology?
Yeah.
What's that?
The study of, I believe.
Okay.
Or the history of, maybe.
I don't know.
Hydrakis.
Ooh. Is this a vampire?
No.
It sounds like it.
So, an engraving of Couch's Hydrakis from the American Phrenological Museum. And it came out in July of 1945. An amateur fossil hunter named Albert Couch brought a sea monster to New York City on display.
Okay.
So actually on the cryptids book, I got the big orange one. It's the cover.
Oh, okay.
It's that giant skeleton. A cousin of the serpentine creatures that many had claimed to see off the coast of New England. So the skeleton was 114 feet long.
Oh, dang. Okay.
So in July of 1845, an amateur fossil hunter named Albert Couch brought the sea monster to New York City. Like I already said, a cousin to the famous sea monsters seen off of the New England coast, especially at this time. Remember, we've done hundreds of, sea monsters from this area at this time, the 1800s.
Oh, yeah.
114-foot skeleton looked like the bones of Leviathan itself, with a monster crocodilian-like head and ribs and spine that went on forever. A crowd flocked to see the ghastly form. They called it Hydrakis. It was the ruler of the ancient seas, they said. But this is also one of the most famous hoaxes in cryptozoology ever.
Oh, no. Okay.
Kinda.
All right. Well, I was skeptical when you're telling this because the way you started it off, saying that never existed. So, okay. So it was a hoax or a known hoax.
Yeah, I got found out.
Okay.
The Hydrakis skeleton did not belong to one animal, but many.
Oh, okay. So it was a hodgepodge he glued together.
Mm-hmm. But much of its skeleton did represent an animal that was described many years before. with the exception of its paddles, which are made of a collection of invertebrate shells.
Hmm.
The majority of Hydrakis was made from several specimens of the prehistoric whale Blesmosaurus.
Oh, okay.
Which we'll talk about Blesmosaurus. Basically, he just took the head off of Blesmosaurus and just... So Blesmosaurus, if anybody don't know, were crocodilian-like whales. Very big heads, sharp teeth, a very long serpentine bodies.
Mm-hmm.
So he basically just kept taking the middle sections out of a bunch of these whales and sticking them together.
Make them longer and longer. Yeah. You gotcha.
And stuck the head on one. It made giant feathery fins out of sea creature shells. And there were several other animals kind of thrown in there as well, but the mass body of it was several Blesmosaur.
Well, where'd he get all those?
He was a fossil hunter.
Okay.
So he was digging up Blesmosaur. They were known about. Blesmosaur was known by paleontologists.
Okay.
At the time.
Gotcha.
Couch was aware of this, but he did not seem to care, as you know, people knew about Blesmosaur. The thing was even bigger success with the artificial enhanced mastodon, which he called Miserosaurus, had been.
Okay, how was it artificially enhanced?
He made a mastodon skeleton that was just a monster.
Like
Behemoth from the Bible.
What do you mean he made it?
He added bones. He added, you know.
Okay.
He added a whole bunch of stuff to make it bigger.
Gotcha. Not that he's molding his own.
No.
Okay.
Just because, like, general public didn't know. Like, if you're not a paleontologist and you walk up and you don't know.
Yeah.
You're like, those bones don't fit together.
How are you supposed to know?
But if you were a zoologist or a paleontologist at the time, you could be like, that's not anything. But that was, right. There were several other famous ones where they would find fossil beds.
Huh?
And they would assume it was the same animal.
And they just put a. Try to slam everything together. Yeah, and make there it was one.
A super famous one with a giant ground sloth and a mastodon that died in the same spot on top of each other.
Gosh, imagine that hybrid.
Oh, yeah. No, it was a big, scary monster. Depending on who you asked, however, Hydrakis was either one of the greatest scientific humbugs ever presented or the most spectacular fossil discovery ever made. So it's not fully agreed upon whether it was a hoax or not.
Really?
Yeah. Generally, though, the consensus is it was a hoax.
Okay.
But there are a few people that say that maybe it was a massive sea serpent or maybe the biggest Blesmosaur ever discovered.
Well, did the couch guy ever say?
Well,
or is that coming up at the end?
Well, naturalists such as Jeffrey Weilman point out the obvious marks of forgery in the construction of Hydrakis. An anonymous author of the report of the skeleton in the American Phrenology Journal wrote this, proclaiming, so this is the article, what he said. Some effect to consider is a humbug. Made by human hands on speculations. This idea is entirely erroneous. I have seen and therefore know the validity of the bones. It is a perfect series of spinal vertebra from any other skeleton, human, or animal. Those who call this a hoax are poor judges between bone and wood. Besides being the class of conundrum phrenology known a hearing, too specular to believe with their own senses. So basically he's saying, he went through the skeleton himself.
Mm-hmm.
He was specifically looking at the spinal columns and felt that they were lined up how an animal should be.
Should be, yes.
So he's saying the people that call it, they're calling it a hoax wouldn't be able to tell a piece of bone from a piece of wood.
But then they forgot this was also the agent for him that was selling tickets to see the bones.
Oh, I mean, yeah. He was his press manager.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
So phrenology would too turn out to be a different sort of scientific humbug. But the author of the 1846 article was certain of his science. Maybe phrenology is the study of bones. I never looked it up.
How do you spell it again? I'll just look it up real fast.
Phrenology.
Okay.
But the author of the 1846 article was certain of the science. It was mentally of a human could be debunked by looking at the lumps and bumps on the noggin, the same rules that would apply to animals, and notably the Hydrakis. Made it too difficult to resist mapping the manner that had been based upon its skull. Oh, so that's the style. So, see, I did this 2 weeks ago. I don't even remember.
Okay.
So that's the bumps on the skull.
Yep, that's what phrenology is. So, on Wikipedia, the official source, the official government source, says that phrenology is a pseudoscience right off the rip. So, there's probably some legitimacy to it. That involves the measurement of bumps on the skull to predict mental traits. It is based on the concept that the brain and the organ of is the organ of the mind, and that certain brain areas have localized specific functions or modules. So it was said that if the brain was composed of different muscles, So those that were used more often were bigger, resulting in the different skull shapes.
There you go.
Hmm.
So they said this attributes to the Hydrachus being the most apparent or coarseness and power. The organization of the skeleton left no doubt that it was a muscular, powerful animal, and even the great whales of the modern ocean would have been helpless as mice before it. The question, what did it eat, could only be answered by anything it wanted. And after experiencing a long description of the animal, an author promised that a full bearing of the autonomy on its attributes and mental abilities would be alluded to in the following articles.
Okay.
But from what all we can tell, the article was never written.
No. Or it was erased from history.
As Hydrachus continued to tour up the East Coast through Europe, naturalists continued to decry it as a fake. And perhaps the author thought better on publishing than any further. So yeah, basically before he could write the second article, it was like a sideshow thing.
Right, exactly.
And they were showing this massive, I mean, it was literally, like I said, the picture on the front of the book of cryptozoology. It was massive, where you could walk up a little ladder to stand on it like by its head.
Hmm.
114 foot long.
I mean, it's quite the spectacle.
I mean, the grain elevator here in town is 100 foot tall.
Right, exactly.
So it's 14 feet. It's a house on top of the grain elevator.
Gosh.
Just massive. To me, though, so I'll finish the article and then we'll just talk about it. Perhaps the author thought better than publishing it. Then again, the head of the creature was very battered blesmosaur skull and held so highly in the air, it was supported by apertures. Perhaps it was difficult to make out anything distinctive about the habitats or the coarseness of the fossil. Whatever the fate of the mysterious article was, though, Hydrachus continued to kick up controversy wherever it went, and not until many years later, an accident would confirm once and for all it was truly a whale. That, however, basically it fell and broke apart.
Hmm. Is that the accident?
Yeah.
Okay.
So what became of the skeleton? The bones of Hydrachus were destroyed during the Allied bombing in Germany in World War II. Before that, however, a couch had made a second smaller sea monster called Zeuglodon, which is basically Zeuglodon, which is the mockery of Blesmosaurus by Richard Owen.
Oh, okay.
So he was kind of really leaning into it because Blesmosaurus was discovered first.
Okay.
So he was really leaning into making fun of other scientists with it.
Gotcha.
But it was destroyed in the Great Chicago Fire of 1871.
Huh.
The cow did it.
Yeah. Gosh.
But so after that, plenty of Blesmosauruses were recovered from the fire, Blesmosaurus bones. So where the great skeleton was,
they got some recovery of it.
And all the bones they found were Blesmosaurus bones.
Okay.
So that points to it being a Blesmosaurus.
Understood, okay.
A bunch of Blesmosauruses stitched together.
Gotcha.
Because what they could find left, and the Zeuglodon was another one that was like a smaller one. I think that one was 60 or 70 feet. I think he kind of got tired of setting up the 114-foot one.
Oh, gotcha. I guess I could get...
You can look up like artist drawings of it and stuff like that when it was in rooms with people. It was massive. Like, it would have to be... It was whole ballrooms. And he would snake the skeleton around like a big serpent.
I mean, it'd be quite a spectacle to see. It'd be cool to see it.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was... I'd pay my nickel.
Right, yeah. It's like going to the fair and seeing the world's largest horse. I didn't believe it until I saw it. And I'm like, you know what? I'm glad I paid $5 for this.
But yeah, I thought it was just interesting. There's not really much to it. And a lot of this has been lost to time.
Yeah.
You know, or 1840s up until all the way into World War II.
Right. Which, yeah, we've lost almost everything in between then and now.
The Great Chicago Fire.
Yeah. It wasn't the cow. Every major city has
I'm not arguing with you, obviously, that it wasn't the cow.
Right, yeah.
It just is funny to say that a cow killed Hydrachus.
Right, yeah. That should be a t-shirt.
Cow killed Hydrachus.
Yeah, the cow in the Great Chicago Fire. The night Chicago died.
Which fire? Was that the 1871?
I have no idea.
I know there's two bad ones, right?
Probably.
Cow did both of them.
I don't. It wasn't as bad as Cleveland when the lake caught on fire. That one was pretty bad.
Yeah.
The lake, the water caught on fire.
Ohio's had water catch on fire many times.
Oh, man.
So what do you think of Hydrachus? I know there's not a lot to it besides a lot of hearsay. You know, he said, she said, and I want to point at this time, we've done episodes, I think they're on our Patreon, maybe we'll public release them, the Bone Wars.
Oh, was going gosh, on
during
yes.
the 1840s, all oh, the way yeah. into the 1900s.
Oh, yeah. If you don't know about the Bone Wars, please check out our... Did we do one or two episodes on
it? I can't remember anymore, but it is crazy.
Oh, yeah, it was. They were blowing each other's stuff up and...
Stealing stuff and intercepting stuff.
It was bad.
Just smear campaigning on other people, getting people to pull funding.
Uh-huh.
So there may be some Bone War stuff to this.
Yeah. Oh, I could see that. But we're also at the height of, like... spectacle shows, like sideshow attractions. 100%. I mean, that's entertainment. That's like our today's...
this thing traveled for decades.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
And so did the Zegalodon, the little one.
I bet. So, I mean, you're going to make a few... There's going to be snake oil salesmen throughout time. So, yeah, you're going to have somebody that might not be telling the truth, but show you something pretty dang cool, and you're going to see it. Regardless if it's real or not, it's like a piece of art at that point. It's even if it is fake, I think it's pretty awesome, you know, that he was able to make this thing. Like, I'm just going to assume it's 100% a hoax, you know, the creature. I'm going to say the bones, yeah, sure, were probably real. But the animal itself that he portrayed, I'm going to say is more than likely 100% just a fake. But I think it's very impressive, and I think it's awesome. I wish I would have liked to have seen it in person, too, just to go through the effort to make something like that.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at freestylelibre.us.
For prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
That's art in itself.
So the biggest blue whale ever accurately measured was 111 feet.
Okay.
So the skeleton isn't that outlandish.
Right.
But the biggest blesmosaur ever, I believe, was around 90 feet.
That's still pretty big.
So there's always a chance. There's always a chance that this was an actual blesmosaur skeleton that just happened to be either that species got remarkably large or that... maybe, I don't know, you know.
But what about the fins where it was, what they say, shells from sea creatures?
Yeah, they seem to be, but that's, I have no proof for that.
True. Yeah, if you were there, you'd be able to tell. Oh, okay, that's a...
I mean, yeah, if you know what you're looking for.
Exactly,
I
mean, yeah.
It's not hard to tell, but if you don't...
No, yeah. Well, I'm saying if we could, if this thing was still in existence...
There are pieces, you could, so their pieces are, not private collections, but museum collections.
Yeah.
You'd have to ask to see them. I don't think they're on public display.
Well, I think that would be the giveaway, is looking at the, whatever you called it, the fins or the scutes or something. I don't know. Yeah. Whatever you called it.
Yeah, there was the fins, the side fins.
Gotcha, yeah. So, I say, if we are able to see those, then we know for sure.
It could have been food it was eating. So it could have actually been fossilized with it, that they were eating crustaceans or something off the bottom.
I guess so, yeah.
And because there was that massive one I was trying to pull up. I just pulled it up. So that we talked about it. I can't remember if it was on the main show or Freaky Fauna Friday a couple years ago when they discovered this, that the heaviest whale ever discovered was close related to blesmosaur.
Okay.
Blue whale still holds the record for at least the longest animal. And there's been some more coming out about this where it was not as heavy as they thought it was. But it was a colossal whale discovered in Peru. Each vertebra or backbone weighed more than 100 kilograms, and each rib measured almost 6 feet in length.
Okay, that sounds pretty big.
It was chunky. It was very dense.
Big boned.
Yeah. But it only topped out around the 80 to 90 feet.
Only.
Well, when you're comparing it to whales, it get 110.
I know. It's just funny to hear that. It only topped out, a living creature, only 80 to 90 feet.
So they, you know, roughly 20 meters, and then blue whales get up to 30 meters. So when it first came out, they thought it may have weighed up to a half a million pounds or even a million pounds.
That's insane.
Because it looked like it was an extremely dense bottom-crawling plesiosaur.
Okay.
Where it may have been more like a scout, like actually eating stuff off the bottom or in sand. So like gray whales, for example, are sand shifters.
Okay.
Where they scoop up giant mouthfuls of sand off the bottom and get all the crustaceans out of it.
Yeah.
Clams and everything else. And then they digest that.
Mm-hmm.
So they think that this guy may have been that, and his size may have been to help him hold to the bottom.
Gotcha. Like a hippo.
Yeah. More like a hippo than a whale.
Yeah.
Modern day whale. And even the artist's depictions of the tail fluke would give it a much more manatee look.
Hmm. That'd be interesting to see.
There's always a chance that he actually found one of these.
And we don't know what's down there. We really don't. We have no idea what's on.
Plesiosaurs were a complex, massive group of animals, of prehistoric crocodile-like whales.
That could be what's stealing the cables off the coast of Iceland.
Could be.
A big ground-crawling plesiosaur whale with a bad attitude.
With a bad attitude. No, I think this is fascinating. It shows a lot of that hoaxy stuff. But yeah, what do you think?
I think it's fake. I think it's a hoax. But I'm, what's the word? What's the right? I want to say the right word. But I'm pro it. I'm for it.
You're for hoaxes?
Not hoaxes, but I'm for this thing, I guess. I think if you construct 140 foot long.
114.
14, you know, it doesn't matter at this point. 114. If you construct that and put it together and make it look like something cool, I think that's, like I said, that's like art in itself. And you're giving it a backstory. I don't know. It's just fun. I think this is fun.
I do think there's a chance it could have been a real animal.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe even two animals that died on top of each other, and he may have not been malicious about it.
Yeah.
Because this is the time in paleontology where this was not uncommon. For paleontologists to stick bones together.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Because we don't know.
Yeah, Red Dead Redemption 2 actually had a paleontology quest that was this. Where the lady had, what's his name? What was the main character?
Arthur.
Arthur going around and getting fossils for her.
Yeah.
And she stuck them all together. And it was an eight-legged, massive reptile / mammal. And she made a whole backstory for it. And was dead serious.
Oh, yeah.
And I believe in it may have came back to life during one of like the Halloween updates when the zombies were out.
Right, yeah.
That was like the final boss because it was absolutely massive.
Those games are great.
Red Dead Redemption 2 is awesome. But this was common. This was common. People finding bones and sticking them together in partial skeletons and not understanding. Plesiosaur was thought to be a giant marine snake when it was first discovered.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's, you know, giant, long, slender animal.
Right, yeah.
With a big reptilian-like head. And then they thought it was a prehistoric crocodile. And then it was a mammal.
Yeah, go figure.
But if you look at killer whales' skulls and plesiosaur skulls, they're remarkably similar.
Oh, okay.
Killer whales have a very, very... If you didn't know what you're looking at, it looks very crocodilian.
I can see that.
Even big sperm whales have a very crocodilian skull.
I can very much see that.
90% of that big head is just flesh.
Right, yeah.
It's the jelly. It's the spermaceti inside their head.
And they have the narrow, like,
the very face. narrow face. But so they're massive heads. Even orca's massive head, most of that is just soft tissue. Huh. There's no hard tissue in there. Just the bottom part.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think this is fun. I like this idea. I would have paid my nickel to see it.
Maybe whenever we build our museum,
we'll make a replica of this.
Yeah.
Let's just start collecting like roadkill bones, you know, because we got plenty of that here. We'll make like a 80 foot long raccoon spine.
A tassel worm.
Oh, there we go. We'll make it
a raccoon head and then the spine and vertebra forever with a bunch of little legs.
Yeah. We'll use legs like in squirrel tails all at the back. I don't know.
It makes me think of the museum from Wenzel Hofner.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
The front part.
We could do it. I think we can make it happen.
I have to read to know what the back part of the museum's like.
Yeah, it's famous author, Michael Thompson.
Handsome man.
Homeowner.
Love you, Michael. I don't know how to listen to this. No, so it's a famous hoax, and it's all over cryptozoology, and I don't really know. There were some people that stuck their neck out saying that they believed it was real, and I do think there was a chance it was a real fossil.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was 114 feet long, or if it was two blesmosaurs or 50 blesmosaurs stuck together, plus an ancient crocodile, plus a sperm whale, plus some dolphin and manatee thrown in there.
Yeah. This also a different time. There wasn't a narrative that was strongly forced down your throat that this had to fit into that box, so people were more free to make up stories.
So blesmosaurs were drawn in, we're talking about the timeline and how time's a lie.
Uh-huh.
Blesmosaurs were often drawn in with dinosaurs in the 1800s art.
Hmm. So what's that say?
That they were found remarkably close together.
Right, yeah.
But they weren't in, quote unquote, in time, close together.
Interesting. So something's wrong somewhere. The people that lived through it, or someone that's going back and trying to piece it all together. Hmm.
Any big stuff coming up? I know this is kind of a shorter episode.
Well, we got our live show June 14th. Tickets still available with famous author, handsome homeowner, and great swimmer, Michael Thompson. We're doing UFOs and sea monsters live presentation. So get your tickets while they're still available. Come out and hang out with us. Watch us share some stories and just enjoy hanging out in the evening with both of us.
It's going to be a fun time.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. Very much looking forward to it.
What else we got coming up?
Let's see here. Well, the How Bigfoot Jamboree 2 is still going strong. It's growing more and more interest every day, it seems like now. But we live shows, lots of vendors, family room edition, live music.
Mini museum.
The mini museum. We've got presentations going throughout the entire day, free and paid ones, whichever you choose to, or whatever your budget even allows, whatever. Like food, music, vendors, high energy atmosphere, Bigfoot.
Several different Bigfoots.
Yes, we'll have several Bigfoots there running around the park. Scavenger hunt, cornhole tournament. What else we got going on?
It's very Midwest.
Yes, very, very much so. Wild Bill will be there.
Yeah, we got to call him, by the way.
Yeah?
Just to talk to him.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
And we're speakers at Hocking Hills Bigfoot Festival.
Which is coming up in August.
4 days long. It's going to be a fun time.
So check that out.
We're going to make you sleep on top of the bus.
That's fine with me.
You could get a tent up there.
I'd do it. I'm safe from lions.
Yeah, until the wind knocks you off because it's a smooth surface up there.
I don't weigh enough for the wind to... Well, I guess in a tent, I'd be pretty vulnerable.
Yeah, no, it's like a kite.
Yeah, that's not good.
And then we're speakers at Squonkapalooza.
Yep, also in August, a week before the Hocking Hills.
Yes, I always... they're normally reversed, so I always mention them in reverse.
Right, yeah.
But this year, they flopped weekends.
They did.
So it worked out for us.
Very much looking forward to that as well. It's always a good time in Johnstown, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, no, I love both of those festivals very, very much.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think locally, I don't know if any of you guys are listening locally, watch on the Facebook page and everything. I think we're going to, at a local coffee shop, do a presentation. And we're going to bring in a live Bigfoot to meet.
So you can
get pictures. Bring your kids up to get pictures with.
Right, so stay tuned, locals.
Anything else?
I hope everyone are enjoying their week. It's Wednesday, you know, a hump day. Just got to get through today, and it's downhill from here till the weekend.
All right. I've been the Great and Powerful Mystery.
And I've been Jay Clone 16.9.
We'll catch you next week, guys.
Bye. Bye.
Hey, guys. Thank you for listening to Cryptids in the Corn podcast.
No, remember, I just meant
the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the Jay Clones, whatever,
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye!
Like dimension, I don't know.
Winter is here, and if your furnace isn't keeping up, don't worry. Care Heating and Cooling has you covered. Our expert technicians are paid to fix your furnace, not sell you a new one. That means when Care shows up, we're there to solve the problem, not to push a sale. With 30 years of award-winning, trusted service, you can count on Care to keep your home warm and comfortable. Call Care Heating and Cooling at 1-800-COOLING or schedule an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com. When you need a company you can trust.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.